Thank you, Jennifer. I'm gonna lower this. I feel separated. Oh, woman. Okay. Yes, we're going to talk about a use case of Loinc and SNOMED, in particular a project called Clinical Document Architecture for Reporting Healthcare Associated Infection. That's the HAI acronym that just came up. This project is with the Division of Health Quality Promotion, and it is specifically within that division, a branch that does surveillance over HAIs. We have a system called the National Healthcare Safety Network. So what I want to do today is share with you what we've been doing for the past 2 years on implementing clinical document architecture for NHSN. The application here to Loinc and SNOMED is we have used, where possible, standard vocabulary for this use case. We've also used clinical document architecture as the platform to get the data to us in terms of the HL7 format. And I'm going to get into that in this talk as well. So what is NHSN? NHSN started in 2005. It was a voluntary system that did surveillance over healthcare-associated infection through a user within the facilities throughout the country called an infection control practitioner, which is now known as an infection preventionist. These healthcare facilities used NHSN to enter, analyze, and share data. That was the carrot of which lured folks into participating with us. I say that because we're moving towards a mandated world where NHSN is going to be used for some states, 20 today, that will mandate HAI data to be reported using NHSN. The fact that it was originally a voluntary system and is moving towards a mandatory system has created challenges for us. And I'll get into that more. So to give you some idea of the scope of NHSN, we have, this is an old slide, sorry, 2,300 healthcare facilities enrolled. Every day we're getting new ones, so that number goes up often. We have facilities now in 50 states. We're collaborating with sister agencies, CMS, the VA, and others. And we're collaborating with vendors in the infection control surveillance systems. And that actually is where this talk comes into play. We standardized our data so we can receive data from these various infection control surveillance systems. So what do we do more granularly? We collect data on these particular infection types or events. Bloodstream infection, commonly referred to as the BSI, and the surgical site infection, commonly referred to as the SSI, that's how we refer it in our surveillance branch, are the two that are going live for receipt electronically via CDA this month. We have plans and we have done the balloting process for all the other events, but we're going to be accepting these records shortly. I'll explain more what that means exactly. So what I want to do now is just take this down to in simple terms and what we're accomplishing through CDA and standardizing vocabulary. This is a sample form of one of the events that we collect, the surgical site infection. When the system was developed, we developed a web-based interface where a person can type in the data elements that are on this paper form. So this paper form was thought of as a tool for perhaps collecting data manually if needed before it's entered into the system at the once the record is complete. So this is very similar to what we've been talking about this whole conference, EHRs, medical records, having documents that represent something happening to a patient. And this is a public health example of that. So we have a piece of paper, enter in the data, abstract a medical record, go by the patient bedside, collect the data, enter it in this piece of paper, and then type it into the web interface. We've been doing that since 2005. Now, what is CDA and why do a CDA solution for making it easier to get data electronically? Well, I have a snippet here of a section of an infection form that represents, the paper, and it's translated into XML. That XML, in its basic form, can be rendered in a browser. So what you have now is an electronic representation of the paper form. How does that help us exactly? This is a diagram of how the data will flow. The top left-hand corner is the model which I've been describing of entering the data through a web interface. That data goes over the wire into the NHSN database. So we have the data there to do analysis, aggregate data, provide the data back to the facility. But then, and that's been going on since 2005 again, but then state mandates have increased pressure as for us to come up with solutions of another way to get the data in. So that's why we brought in CDA. If you see in the bottom left-hand corner, we have a vendor system using that is collecting HAI data and creating a CDA document. That CDA document will be an XML version of the paper document. There's a niche market in the country of infection control software systems that collect much of the same data that NHSN collects. So if a state has a facility that runs this infection control software and they have to be mandated to enter an NHSN, we have a problem. We now have two systems that the user has to enter in the data, one NHSN, one the vendor system. So that's where CDA comes in. If we create a standard of communicating a document through a vendor system, they enter the data, they generate that XML, and then push it over the wire to NHSN, we now have another solution that obviates the need for it to be entered into the web-based app. So what are the objectives of CDA? The objectives are good foundation for this use case in that it has standardized structured content of clinical documents for electronic exchange between systems, which I just explained through the diagram before. We have an infection control software system that's talking to NHSN. We can achieve semantic interoperability, and that is the ability for two systems to share data with no prior negotiations. So if we I'm jumping ahead a little, bear with me, it'll come into complete circle in a second. If we ballot an implementation guide that shows the infection control vendors how to send us data, we all agree on that, then they can grab basically it's a pretty thick binder, and follow the instructions to enable, configure, program, whatever word you want to use, their system to send us data without calling CDC and saying, I'm sending this data, it's going to be in this format, let's agree on it. We don't have a lot of one-offs, everybody's going to do it the same way. And then lastly, which is the long-term goal, provide a structured document foundation for standards-based electronic health record systems. So we created this implementation guide that said you communicate to NHSN this way, a surgical site infection. That implementation guide has sections within it that can be interchangeable and allow for us to go directly into the EHRs, bypass the infection control software systems, and get the data directly. That's the long-range goal. So to do this was a long adventure that has spanned over the past 2 years, and we had to get several types of groups involved, and they're listed here. First are the NHSN subject matter experts. These are the people, scientists, doctors, healthcare, public health experienced people that define the protocols that says for a case to be an SSI or a case to be as SSI has to follow these parameters. We had to tap into that knowledge to model the data structures within the XML so we could derive from the reference information model the format of that data. The implementation guide consultants. These were consultants that we hired to do solely the development of the implementation guide. In our case, it was all Schuller Associates. This is a group of people that are very steeped in HL7, have a strong presence in that organization, and developed our implementation guidance working with our subject matter experts. I cannot recommend more getting that outsourced, or if you have that knowledge in-house, use it. Use that knowledge. The important thing is the HL7 process of balloting, while it's clear to some people, to me, I'll use myself as an example, it's quite confusing. So to have a group of people guiding you through that makes the ballot process go very smoothly. Then third is vocabulary specialists. This hits at the heart of the purpose of this talk, Loinkins Nomad. We have various data elements on our form. I showed you that SSI form that had various data elements. A vocabulary specialist would go through, analyze those data elements, and look at existing standards of Loink and SNOMED and others to identify what standard codes go with each field. Now that sounds easy, but it's not. I've watched it from afar. It looks extremely painful. But as we all know, in the end, it pays off in dividends, and that we communicate with that same I'm seeing HL7 people nodding, so I don't think they're disagreeing. That's painful. Okay. Where was I? Okay, so now, the other tricky part of that job is there are data elements that are new to SNOMED that are considered public health domain type things. Can't think of one right now. Oh, pain and tenderness. It's later in the slide, so I've jumped up ahead. Anyway, for now, let me just say, we have the unique challenge, not unique, I've heard it other talks as well, of needing to get a SNOMED code or a standard code assigned to these new codes. That's not a small feat either. And then fourthly, HL7 Structured Documents Work Group. This is a group within HL7 that the members, I think, invented CDA, and they understand how the RIM works, and they help when us ballot our implementation guide. So when All Schuller Associates develops an implementation guide, we take it to Structured Docs, give it to that group of folks, they review it, they pick at it, they scrutinize it, and we get on calls and we debate it. Luckily, because All Schuller was really, really good, a lot of those debates didn't go too long, and we have a balloted release. In fact, we are now at ballot 4, which is going into ballot this next meeting here in September. Okay, and then lastly, infection control surveillance systems vendors. They got involved at the beginning, and that was really important, because if you develop something that people can't use, you have nothing. So they were involved from the beginning, piloting it and making sure that we were developing something that was implementable. Okay, I'm gonna dive a little bit into what's an implementation guide. I'm not gonna go too far into it because, you know, we're at the end. How much time do I have? 10 minutes, okay. Clinical statement. Is a term that's used to represent a standard way of expressing discrete item within clinical information that is recorded because it's relevance to patient care. An example of a clinical statement is the observation of fever, which is one of our criteria for infection. There are different types of clinical statements. There's the observation, procedure, substance administration, and so on. We use heavily in our particular implementation observations and procedure, and we also have encounter. Again, to figure out whether something is an observation or procedure or substance administration, that comes in with an HL7 vendor who then gets feedback, taps into the structured docs group. This is an example of what the implementation guide looks like. This is a clinical statement. So this represents how you would convey fever. So this is a hard copy representation. This would be translated into XML, which is what you see here. So that's that instruction is deciphered, this XML is generated, and it's sent to NHSN, and NHSN has a parser that goes through and pulls out the value. And now we come full circle back to our piece of paper that has fever checked. Okay, I wanted to dive a little bit into the two aspects of CDA that are important. That fever observation that I spoke of, at the top you will see what we call a required narrative block, and the bottom, the required structured body. Oh, I'm gonna stay here for a second. The required narrative block is the portion that would allow you to render this form into a browser. So if you did not have a system that was sophisticated enough to parse the structured body at the bottom, you could render it into a just a basic browser. Now, getting to standard vocabulary, this is an example. I pulled the code out of what you just saw and showing you that fever is represented by a SNOMED code. We have the code system name SNOMED and the code represented for fever. Each data element within the SSI form is represented this way. So I spoke before about SNOMED codes, LOINC codes, and then those codes, those pesty codes that don't have a standard code assigned yet. Again, here are the criterion for diagnosis, signs and symptoms. Purulent drainage and material has a SNOMED code of 307, blah, blah, blah. Come to pain or tenderness, doesn't have a code. In the beginning of this project, we were presented with a question of how to handle this fact. There were a number of options. Pain by itself has a SNOMED code. Tenderness by itself has a SNOMED code. Pain or tenderness does not. So we have number of solutions, number of ways we could have tackled this. We could do what we call post-coordination and have two SNOMED codes concatenated, I guess, I'm not sure about that part, sent over the wire. And then on the other end, you pull that apart and you see, okay, I've got pain, I've got tenderness. Another thing we could do was submit pain or tenderness to SNOMED, pain or tenderness to SNOMED and get a code. Well, I'm pretty sure in this case, we didn't get one. So what we're doing is we've created an NHSN local code system, and we are assigning our own codes, and we're gonna publish them through FinVADS. So if you were to implement HAI in your system, you would have a code system that would have many different members. You'd have LOINC, you'd have SNOMED, you'd have, I think, RX norms in there, perhaps, and you would have our NHSN local code system. So where are we? We did a bloodstream infection pilot in fall of 2007, which we had actual records that were de-identified sent to us in pilot mode. We did the same thing for SSI in 2008. And we're, this is old, sorry, implementation guides from DRO have just been finished. We're going into production with SSI and BSI in September 2009. This is great news. Our team is busy testing and it's going well. I think we get to say we're first to public health on CDA working for real. I'm not sure. I've said that publicly before, so I think I'm right because nobody's shot at me. So Rita confirmed. All right, great. So we're very excited about that. I have no reason to believe we won't be successful. Dan Pollock, we will be successful. Yeah, we are. I'm the project manager, so if this doesn't work, I'll be looking for work. So then in the first quarter of next year, we're gonna go live with UTI and pneumonia. And then we're gonna keep adding events as we go. So that's it. Any questions? Or we have time for questions?